A Perth toddler dies from the flu, prison inmates getting drunk off hand sanitizer, and Apple is tweaking autocorrect. It's Wednesday, the 7th of June.
The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.
G'day, Matty.
G'day, mate. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday to you too. It's still pretty wild and woolly outside. The rain was bucketing down this morning on the way in.
It just makes you want to stay in bed, doesn't it?
I know.
Like with your hoodie or your like dressing gown and your slippers. And
don't you reckon it's also been freezing?
Yeah, it has
been
very
cold. Like the past couple of days have been so cold.
I just can't help but think, you know, the Weather Bureau told us it was going to be drier than normal. It was, you know, this was going to be a mild winter.
Yeah. It's out the window like the first week.
Yeah.
Our producer Mel showed me a video before the show of a bloke in Perth in the southern suburbs who was banging on his gutter and hail was coming out. It was incredible.
Oh, my goodness.
It looked like he was at the slushy machine at a 7-Eleven or something, the way it was coming out. Oh, my gosh. And, of course, it's a time of year when flu season rears its ugly head again. And we've had an absolutely tragic instance of a Perth toddler who became the youngest person in WA this year to die from the flu.
Yeah, the family of this 3-year-old Perth boy who died suddenly from the flu has been left devastated. Mohammed Sadiq Sagaf was a cheeky, happy, always smiling, healthy boy, we're told. It all started with wheeziness and it became much worse. He went into cardiac arrest at Fiona Stanley Hospital. They performed open heart surgery using a machine to keep his blood pumping while he was transferred to Perth Children's Hospital, but he couldn't be saved. Tragically, his life support was turned off. Now, tests confirmed he had influenza A, so doctors are urging people to get vaccinated, saying it's not too late now. You know, we have a significant and effective prevention strategy for the flu, and it is the flu vaccine. So WA's free flu vaccine program for kids and seniors has been extended until the end of the month, and that's because the uptake has been slower than usual. And this is a dangerous trend, really, and it's likely the result of COVID fatigue. Mm. We've had jab after jab because of COVID. People are thinking, I've had enough of this. This is a reminder that the flu is real and can be deadly.
Yeah, and they're saying that you know, this year is on track to be the worst flu season since 2019, when 80 deaths were recorded. And so you're talking about, you know, it's a really serious situation. There were 987 flu cases in April, and the state's tally jumped to over nearly 1,600 infections in May. So, you know,
have you had your flu jab?
Yeah,
I've had mine too.
So yeah, get it done. I think that's the best advice. And now we're going to get Roger Cook sworn in as Premier today and his cabinet as well with one new addition.
Yeah, we're going to find out who gets what in the cabinet. Now, there's not really wholesale changes because he's trying to, you know, sell this stability and
continuity.
It's a continuation of the Mark McGowan era. And, you know, so, you know, there's one change in there who you mentioned yesterday. There's also Rita Saffiotti's talk of, you know, is she going to get transport and the Treasury portfolios? You
Certainly
know, the
looks
Bill Johnson one's the most interesting one. Is he going to be stripped of prisons?
I think happily.
Probably. That'll be his get out of jail free card.
Exactly.
Right,
I'll go to
there.
Paul Papalia, who probably is well suited. He was corrective services minister, a shadow minister in opposition. Apparently, still has very good connections, good relationships in the sector. You certainly need them. Interesting that Cook said he was going to take his first day, he was going to be spent getting his head around Banksia Hill, see what he could do about it to make that a priority.
Well, the thing is, it's the red button issue from the government. It was health, and it seems to have migrated to Banksia Hill. So he obviously wants to put out that fire, literally and figuratively, from a political perspective anyway. So how's this? As of his swearing in tomorrow, he gets his new salary, $355,000 a year.
Not a bad pay rise.
No, not bad.
Not bad at all.
I mean, he gets a few more headaches.
Yeah, exactly. Compared to just being tourism minister.
Yeah.
Just a few more. One of them might be keeping track of what's going on at Wooraloo Prison as well. So the inmates down there are just loving life. Well, you know, like it's fair to say when you go into prison, you sacrifice a few things. And look, you know, it's not like you can go down to the BWS and take your pick of your craft beers and you know, your favourite Sauv Blancs.
Your seltzers.
Your boost choices are a little limited.
Yeah, so inmates at Wirraloo Prison have enjoyed a bit of a jailhouse booze-up after breaking into a senior manager's office and taking tubs of high-alcohol hand sanitizer.
They're into the hand sanny.
So the West Australian's reporting that guards noticed prisoners slurring their words. Sorry, I shouldn't laugh at this. They were slurring their words and staggering around drunk.
Gosh.
Then it was discovered, the break-in. One prisoner ended up in hospital after sculling the makeshift alcoholic drink.
I'm surprised
there's only one. Yeah, well, there's at least 80% alcohol in the hand sanitizer. So the Department of Corrective Services tells us security has been enhanced since the break-in.
Yeah.
Desperate times at Wirraloo.
Drinking hand sanny.
Ugh, ugh.
How gross would that be? Because
you know what, though? Some hand sannies, I reckon, and this is no longer a talking topic because it's just become a way of life, but I reckon some of them do smell like tequila.
Yeah,
some of them. I don't know if it's just me, but some of them smell goddamn awful, but some smell like tequila.
You know when you put the hand sanny on and then you know, maybe shortly afterwards you eat something and then your fingers go through your mouth and you taste it?
Yeah.
It is horrible. It is disgusting tasting stuff.
Can you imagine sculling that stuff? No, thank you.
And the consistency also. although, you know, you can get that really liquid stuff. You know, you go into some shops and they have this really liquid.
Yeah, because you press it and it's like a little squirt. It's out. Gone everywhere. Yeah.
And we mentioned the wild weather at the top of the show. It maybe is driving people to drinking hand sanny. You're stuck inside. You've got cabin fever. Don't do it. But what is the cost been to all this wild weather?
Already, insurance claims for more than $3 million have been lodged already.
That's just started winter.
Yeah. So cars and properties have been ruined by this damaging trifecta. Heavy rain, strong winds, destructive hail.
Yes.
The worst of it is over. That's the good news. We're going to get some more wet weather for the next few days. It's really not going to clear up until next week.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not going to be bucketing down, you know, this torrent that we experienced.
It has been rough. And talking about bad news for homeowners, we saw that interest rates went up again yesterday. Mm. Thanks, Philip Lowe. Love your work. But it doesn't appear to be slowing down the Perth property market. So get this. So the number of properties available for sale in Perth, according to new REWA data, at the end of May was just 5,885. That's 8.8% lower than April, 29.3% lower than 12 months ago. The last time there were so few houses available for sale was mid-2010, which, you know, we're starting to get into real boom times back then. The property market was going bonkers. And so now, according to this data, homes are selling in a median time frame of just 12 days.
Wow.
Home goes on the market, 12 days, boom, gone. It's the fastest median time on market since they started keeping records in 1998.
Really?
Yeah. And so
In that time.
So the fastest.
Well, I ran into my real estate agent at the cafe across the road the other day, and she was saying, like, it's going gangbusters.
Yeah, going back gangbusters. So,
I mean, that's just some anecdotal evidence, but still, it matches up, doesn't it?
And I see, driving around, I see, the for sales shingle go out in front of houses. Within a day, there's an under offer sign, a sticker onto it.
In my area, you'd hardly find any for sale signs at the
thing,
moment.
Right?
They're up and down.
There's just so few houses available for sale right now. The sales are outstripping new properties coming onto the market, which is actually very rare.
You know how you can tell that there's this real need for demand? When real estate agents who usually stick to your area suddenly venture out into other suburbs. It's like, what are they doing over there?
Yeah, that's right. Joe Bloggs from Joe Joondalup is putting one
suddenly
in
Mandurah.
Suddenly in Mandurah. We'll take what we can get. Do you know what the fastest selling suburbs are?
Oh, tell me.
Savile Grove. 5 days.
Did you just give that a bit of a French twist? Well,
how would you say?
Savile Grove.
Savile Grove. Savile Grove. 5 days. Doesn't matter how you pronounce it. Houses are selling in 5 days.
Goes fast.
Armidale. We know Armidale.
Oh, yeah. You're a big proponent of Armidale.
Yeah. Brabham. Butler. Coolangup.
Coolangup. Southern suburbs.
Greenfields, wherever that is. Hilbert.
Greenfields is
Hilbert.
Down Mandurah way.
Hilbert's
a place. Yeah.
Doubtful. And Port Kennedy, 6 days. And Padbury and Palmyra, which is kind of the only two closer to home in the metro area, 7 days.
That's so fast, isn't it? You know, when you consider in years gone by, it would take weeks to sell a home.
Yeah, I know. Have you been following Prince Harry?
Oh, yeah.
In court. So he's been facing a cross-examination in the High Court in his case against the Mirror Group newspapers. So he believes journalists from the Daily Mirror, the Sunday Mirror and the People exploited a security gap to access his voicemails and hear messages left by friends and family. And so the cross-examination was quite interesting. Didn't start off that great. He was a bit sort of uncertain. He had to be told to speak up. But then he sort of grew in confidence and then was kind of giving it back to the lawyers of the publishers. But as he entered the witness box, his 55-page witness statement was published, which is kind of details his allegations. And there's some interesting ones, as he became the first senior royal to give evidence in court in over 130 years. So do you want to know some of the key takeaways?
Yes.
He accused the media of casting him as a, and his words, a thicko. They cast him as a thicko party boy, and then he played up to that stereotype.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, so he's blaming the media for that.
Yeah, I called you a party boy, and then suddenly you ended up, you know.
Exactly.
In Paramount. Just try it,
see what happens. And he also said the tabloids tried to break up his relationships. And he said, whenever I got into a relationship, they were keen to report the details, but would very quickly try to break it up, putting as much strain on the relationship by creating as much distrust as humanly possible.
It's your own relationship.
He also accused them of turning the public against him. And he said, you know, you've written things like, you know what, you're an idiot. And so then the public will read the stories about me and then maybe want to stab me. And he also talked about the rumours that James Hewitt was his biological father.
Yeah, and he was worried about getting kicked out of the royal family.
But then he also, in the statement, he's had a crack at Rishi Sunak's government, like the UK Prime Minister, and said that our country is judged globally by the state of our press and our government, both of which I believe are at rock bottom, which is very unusual for the royals to say anything about government. And then he also said that...
What happened to the Queen's mantra of never complain, never explain? That's gone out the window.
And then he also said that the journalists who are responsible for this sort of reporting, blood will stain their typing fingers. Thanks, Harry.
I tell you what, after my typing in the morning, blood stains my fingers every day. I'm typing away so hard, Harry. Come in for a day and check it out.
Sport. Talking about things that are stained with blood, the LIV Golf Circuit bankrolled by Saudi blood money. The big controversy in the world of golf, right? So they've had this rival tour. A lot of top players defected because the Saudis just giving them an obscene amount of money, and it's created friction. They were kicked off the PGA Tour, which has been the long-standing golf tour. Now the PGA Tour, the European Tour, and the LIV Golf Circuit have announced a landmark agreement overnight. They're going to merge.
What?
They're going to merge. They're going to unify golf. They're going to form a new commercial entity. All the players will be able to play in it. The LIV Golf players will be able to reapply for the PGA Tour. And so the LIV Golf Series is bankrolled by the Saudi Arabia Public Investment Fund, which has been criticised for sports washing, Saudi Arabia's very, very poor human rights record. And so the announcement of this merger includes an agreement to end all pending litigation. And get this. The Saudis agreed to make a capital investment into the new entity. So, how curious.
Can I just say, why do they need an entity? Can't they just run a competition and then the players enter the competition?
Yeah, I know.
Why do they need another?
Because it's all about TV deals, you know. They've got to have a tour that they can then sell the broadcast rights to. So, there you go. It looks like Saudi money won the day.
Mm. The Wild West.
So, Apple had its Worldwide Developers Conference yesterday, and the big thing, the big takeaway was the Vision Pro, the ski goggles that are augmented reality.
Yeah, the more I look at it, the more I think, I don't want them.
No. If someone gave them to me for free, it'd be fun.
Did you see the announcement, the crowd, when they said, you know, it was $3,500 US, and they were all like, boo.
But that's not the big takeaway. This was under the radar. Have you ever been typing and Apple, and maybe you've gone to write the F word, and Apple's duck. Autocorrect has changed to duck or ducking?
All the time.
Guess what? It's gone.
Oh, what's it going to be now?
They fixed it. They're using AI. This is probably the best use ever
for AI.
Hang
on a minute. What? On my phone?
They haven't fixed it yet. It's the new iOS. Yours probably can't even take that update.
So the
software boss of Apple, Craig Federighi, has said, in those moments where you just want to type a ducking word, well, the keyboard will learn it too.
Oh, do you know what? I've just done it and it hasn't changed it.
There you go.
Maybe it is working already, guys. Right. Look.
Yeah,
it's working. Sorry, I don't mean to.
So there you go.
Don't mean just, you know.
How ducking good is that?
So ducking good.
And that's your ducking news from the West Australian for Wednesday, June 7. And don't forget to subscribe to The West Live on your favourite podcast player. Maddie, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
I'm going to duck off. Have a good one, mate.
See ya.
You've been listening to The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.